Market. Central Time, I'm Rob Farage. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Today, supporters of President Trump broke into the United States Capitol. A crowd initially listened to the president speak at a rally in Washington, D.C., prior to Congress tallying Electoral College votes for the next president of the United States. At the president's bidding, following the search, supporters marched to the Capitol. Some protested, then some clashed with the police. Some overwhelmed the doors of the Capitol itself, prompting an evacuation of the gathered House and Senate. The week in Washington, we're looking at the big story in Washington right now. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you been watching what's been unfolding in the nation's capital today? What have you been seeing? What do you think about what's happening today? What do you want to see happen next? What would it take to prevent this happening again? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Reed Wilson is a correspondent for The Hill. He's the author of the book Epidemic, Ebola, and the Global Scramble to Prevent the Next Killer Outbreak. Reed, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, Rob, how are you?
Okay, this is not a day I expected to be broadcasting in the United States. What is your reaction to what you've been seeing and hearing today?
Well, I'm at my house about 8 or 10 blocks from the Capitol, and I can tell you that I hear nothing but sirens. I mean, it's just this place is... I'm struggling to find the words too. I keep thinking, how would we report this if this happened in another country? We would be reporting a coup. We would be reporting that an ousted president who has lost a free and fair election is desperately trying to maintain his hold on power and therefore is sicking a militia on the parliament building, which is exactly what's happened here. Just substitute the word Congress for the word parliament.
And I'm seeing front pages of foreign newspapers popping up, basically reporting exactly what you're saying in French, in Spanish, and in other languages. This is what the world is seeing in the United States today.
How embarrassing. I mean, the Secretary General of NATO just tweeted that he was shocked at the scenes out of Washington. I mean, we have a president who got elected by claiming that America was the laughing stock of the world. And here we are. And I'm not laughing. I mean, this is a tragedy of a scale that we're going to take years to overcome, decades maybe. I mean, this is the legitimacy of the American experiment under fundamental assault by people who read crazy conspiracy theories on the internet, who have absolutely no proof of anything that they allege and are led into a fantasy world by leaders who lie to them repeatedly over and over and over and take advantage of – I'm getting real worked up here. I'm sorry about that. But you can – I mean, this is not something I ever thought I'd see either.
Right. And our thoughts are with, of course, the members of Congress and their staff, our media colleagues, Capitol Police, as they go through this and hope everybody gets through this OK. I want to turn some to a Republican response. Representative Mike Gallagher of Wisconsin, while he was sheltered in his office, told Craig Gilbert from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, "This is banana republic crap." He rephrased it later. "That's where we are. It's beyond shocking." He said, "This is the type of stuff I saw in Iraq when I deployed." Later on CNN, he said the president needs to call it off. It's over. Senator Mitt Romney of Utah, "This is what the president has caused today, this insurrection." Mick Mulvaney, former chief of staff to the president, "The president's tweet is not enough. He can stop this now and needs to do exactly that. Tell these folks to go home." Adam Kinzinger, congressman from Illinois, "This is a coup attempt," a quote there. Those are all Republican voices. Reed, what are you making of what you're hearing from Republicans, even some of those who had worked for the president or supported him in one way or another directly?
Yeah, Mike Gallagher's comment especially stood out to me. This may be the breaking point for members of Congress. I would not be entirely surprised I think that Democrats, some Democrats, I don't know about House leadership yet, but some Democrats will bring up articles of impeachment again, trying to force President Trump out of office. And they may find more Republican support than they did the last time around, when effectively they only had a former Republican congressman from Michigan and Mitt Romney voting to impeach and then Mitt Romney voting to convict. I mean, this is the president's words at his rally early today incited this attack on Congress. And by the way, I would also hasten to point out that he said, "Let's go take a walk down to the Capitol building." And then he went back to the safety of the White House. This is clearly a man who is so desperate to hold on to power that he does not care if the lives of his supporters and followers are surrendered in some kind of horrific attack on democracy itself.
Talking to Reed Wilson, correspondent for The Hill, looking at the events ongoing now in the nation's capital. You can join in with your reactions at 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller. Martina is with us in Kashina. Martina, hello.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I am an attorney, and I went out to Standing Rock twice and observed the overwhelming police presence, law enforcement's presence, the use of the cannons, the chemical sprays, the LRAD, the constant helicopters, and terrifying against unarmed water protectors. Where is a fraction of that against these people? I think it's real obvious what the difference is between the two groups, and I am just horrified. This is awful. Thank you.
Martina, thanks for calling in. Reed, a lot of people wondering about the police presence, the very limited, it seemed like, police presence in the midst of very large protests on a very critical day in the Capitol building. What kind of things are you hearing?
This is a shocking failure by the U.S. Capitol Police, by the FBI, which is supposed to look out for domestic terrorism, and by law enforcement from top to bottom here. The fact, I mean, we have seen this in Wisconsin, in Michigan, in state capital. I'm sitting here writing a story about the other state capitals where things are happening like this around the country right now. How is it possible that they couldn't see this coming? And by the way, your caller's point, exactly right. Yeah, I mean, we watched protests earlier this year by Black Lives Matter movement supporters, broken up by police in Washington, D.C., in New York, in cities across the country, in much more violent forms, and they weren't storming the U.S. Capitol building or any state Capitol building for that matter. The fact that there was that the law enforcement presence appears so small, that there are still protesters in the building hours after this has begun is just, I mean, this is there is going to be a 9/11 style commission to figure out what went wrong in this, and I mean, the answers can't come soon enough. If the U.S. Capitol building isn't protected from protesters who, from a violent mob, I shouldn't call them protesters, from a violent mob who everybody saw coming, how would they be protected from a real, you know, an international terrorist attack? It boggles my mind. I'm not usually, you know this, Rob, I'm not usually at a loss for words, but I'm struggling to figure this out right now.
Thanks for that call. We'll go now to Heidi in Eau Claire. Heidi, hello.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. What's happening here is not only immoral, this is seditious. This is treason. And every person involved in storming that Capitol building needs to be prosecuted for treason. President Trump needs to be taken to task by the House of Representatives and Articles of Impeachment for treason. And the Senate needs to find him guilty. And that process needs to happen starting immediately, because once noon on January 20th comes, he is no longer legally president under the Constitution. He cannot be removed through articles impeachment after January 20th. He has warned for months. He himself has said there will be civil war if he doesn't win the election. He has incited this. We've seen this coming, and I've written letters to my representative and my senator here in Wisconsin warning that when he removed all the leadership at the Pentagon and replaced them with yes people, that he was going down the road to use military force to remain in office.
Heidi, thanks for the call. Reed, Heidi had been concerned before today.
Yeah, well, justifiably so, it seems. As a matter of fact, the House and Senate could impeach President Trump, impeach and convict President Trump after he leaves office, and doing so would disqualify him from ever holding public office in the United States again. They probably won't want to spend a lot of their time on that, but there are increasing concerns among, I would say, progressive activists who see the incoming Biden administration as unlikely to make a focus on President Trump a key part of their first term. Basically, they don't want to talk about it. They want to move on and get on with Joe Biden's agenda, and that the House of Representatives would similarly move on to other things, if you will. And I think there is a faction within the progressive movement that doesn't want to see that, that wants to see some kind of action and see people held responsible for these actions. Because if we don't do it now, then we're just giving permission for the next time it happens. And the next time it happens, there may be a competent leader in an administration who is better at it than what we've seen in the last few weeks.
Thanks a lot for that call. We'll go now to Jerry with us in Waukesha. Jerry, hi.
Hello.
What did you want to bring up, Jerry?
Well, you wanted a reaction to today's events at the Capitol?
Yeah, what do you think, Jerry?
The premise of the conversation, what I think is, here's what I think. I think we had an election on November 3rd. I think there was a lot of hocus pocus in six states that has never been resolved. The state court systems wouldn't hear any litigation. The Supreme Courts wouldn't hear any litigation as a result of the activities that took place in those states, despite the thousands of bits of information, whether it's videotape clips, whether it's signed affidavits, what have you.
Can we just cut off the conspiracy theory here?
Yeah, Jerry, thanks for calling in. Yeah, 60-some cases rejected by courts, no evidence of hocus pocus, Reed.
Like literally, they go to court and they're supposed to show evidence and they can't show evidence. And then people believe that this is that there's some real there. I mean, like, at some point, it's time for all of us to stop trusting the word of people who lie and people who demonstrably can show zero proof that any of this stuff happened. And by the way, I will concede a point that in the state of Pennsylvania, there have been three people who have been accused of double voting or voter fraud. All three of those people were trying to vote more than once in favor of President Trump. American elections are the freest and fairest in the world, and the conspiracy theories that have migrated from the darkest corners of the internet, and I mean truly evil places, into the mainstream and into the mind of the President of the United States himself is a symptom of a democracy in decline, in rot. And that's what we're seeing here. It is time for everybody who truly believes that there was something nefarious that went on in this election to cast just the slightest bit of critical eye on what has gone on what has happened, on the allegations themselves. Take just 30 seconds to try to debunk one of these yourself, and you will be rewarded with all of the true information about the fact that none of these claims are true.
We're talking to Reed Wilson from The Hill, looking at today's events in the nation's capital. We'll be checking in with NPR News in a little bit to get the latest as well. You can join in with your reactions at 800-642-1234. You're listening to Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Reed Wilson stays with us from The Hill, looking at today's events in the nation's capital. A takeover of the Capitol by protesters turned into a mob. The Capitol evacuated. You can join in with your reactions at 800-642-1234. President-elect Joe Biden spoke just a few minutes ago. As I understand it, he said he had been planning to talk about the economy, change the topic of his speech. Here's a listen to some of what he had to say.
At this hour, our democracy is under unprecedented assault, unlike anything we've seen in modern times. An assault and the citadel of liberty, the Capitol itself. An assault on the people's representatives and the Capitol Hill police sworn to protect them, and the public servants who work at the heart of our republic. An assault on the rule of law like the few times we've ever seen it. An assault on the most sacred of American undertakings, the doing of the people's business.
President-elect Biden there. Reed, your thoughts on what we just heard from the president-elect.
Well, Joe Biden's going to have to do a lot of this in the next couple of months. There is a lot of repair to be done. We should be clear here that not all of President Trump's supporters are like this, are ready to burn down the U.S. Capitol and sacrifice 240 years of American democracy to save one charlatan. But there are a lot of people who are, as demonstrated by the thousands of people who showed up in Washington, D.C. today to hear from the all-star lineup of conspiracy theorists who back the president. Joe Biden is maybe it's appropriate that he is the one who's going to do it. He conveys a sense of empathy and always has. But, you know, the calls to turn the page that we're seeing increasingly, not just from President-elect Biden, but from the senators in on both sides of the aisle. I saw it from Romney earlier today, from Joe Manchin of West Virginia and members like that. Turning the page becomes a lot more difficult when one side is not willing to accept the legitimate defeat of their candidate in a free and fair election, and are willing to assault the establishment. What did Biden call it? The temple of democracy, in hopes of changing a result that they literally cannot change.
Let's go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Stan is with us in Blanchardville. Stan, hi.
Hello.
What'd you want to bring up, Stan?
I'll just tell Reed to take a deep breath. Everything's going to be cool. This is what democracy looks like. That's what you told us.
Well, hold on, Reed. Go ahead, Stan.
That's what you guys told us when they stormed the Capitol.
Stan, thanks for the call. Reed, Stan, referring, I think, to Act 10 protests in Madison back in the day when a lot of protesters did occupy the Capitol. We've seen Republican protesters do something similar in the Michigan Capitol. I don't know. Is there a step-by-step escalation you see here, Reed, I think is what Stan is pointing toward?
I think we've seen escalation in a lot of senses. This is just such a bright red line. And I should apologize to your listeners. I'm really hot right now. And this is rattling me more than I think I would have expected, because it is such a bright red line that has been crossed. I mean, armed protesters storming into the Capitol. At least one person has been shot and transported to the hospital. At least one police officer has been transported to the hospital with injuries. I mean, this is something different, and it is really scary to see in what was once, and I don't think can any longer be called the beacon of democracy across the world. How do we as a nation try to influence, you know, authoritarian regimes into becoming democracies or fragile democracies to become stronger if we can't do it ourselves? This is you know, a century of American history and American exceptionalism just flushed down the toilet in the space of a few weeks.
Let's go to Yordis now in Colfax. Yordis, hi.
Hello. I have a brother who is an evangelical, and he has talked to people in the churches that he's associated with about the worship of Trump, that it's wrong, that it's dangerous, and he has been ostracized for years. And he is lives alone. He doesn't have much money, and he doesn't have a car. And so it's his social group has basically pushed him out. And I want to implore people who are in the evangelical movement that they have to say that these are lies. They have to stand up. Evangelical ministers, people that are religious, that claim to be believers in Jesus, and they have to stand up in their communities and in the national press and say this is wrong, including and especially the Vice President Mike Pence, who claims to be holier than thou. He is one that has enabled this kind of trash and encouraged it because he's so afraid of that malevolent TV President Trump.
Thanks for calling in, Yordis. I have seen some evangelical leaders who had supported the president in the past. I don't have their names in front of me, issuing criticisms of the takeover, the attack on the Capitol. Vice President Pence has called on people to leave the Capitol as well. Reed, do you see maybe some groups like that supporting Trump backing away at this point?
I think it's pretty early, and my Twitter feed is not as comprehensive as it could be, I suppose. But I think we should also recognize here that President Trump, just like literally as this was happening, President Trump tweeted that Mike Pence, his own vice president, who has been incredibly loyal for 4 years, loyal to a fault almost, that tweeted that he was disappointed in Mike Pence. I mean, you know, Mike Pence has a security detail and fortunately was rushed out of the Senate. I can't believe I have to say that the vice president of the United States of America was rushed by his Secret Service detail out of the Senate. The last time something like that happened was about 2 weeks after I got to Washington, D.C. on September 11th. When the vice president was rushed into a bunker in the White House. I mean, that doesn't happen in America. And you know, Pence, for all his loyalty, has now become a target of Trump himself, which I think is just another lesson that President Trump is loyal to a very small number of people, most of whom are related to him by blood. And even those who are the most loyal to him will go straight over the side the moment he is displeased.
Thanks for that call. Just a minute left. You can keep calling in. We'll keep talking about the latest events, getting more analysis and hearing more of your reaction. Reed, what do you have your eye on now in the next minutes, hours?
I wonder if they can clear the building. I mean, today is a day mentioned, you know, specified in the U.S. Constitution by which Congress has to read and approve the lawfully certified slates of electors who have already voted. There's no changing those 306 votes for Joe Biden. You know, can Congress come back into session today? If it can't, then I think we're in real trouble. And I'm hoping that this situation ends very quickly, peacefully, but with a lot of people in handcuffs.
Reed, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hey, thanks, Rob. I'm sorry I'm so hot, but I appreciate you taking the time.
It's an unusual day. Reed Wilson is a correspondent for The Hill. He joined us for what would have been our usual Week in Washington segment. We focused on the events in the nation's capital today. That is what we will be talking about for the duration of the afternoon. You can still join in with your reactions. Email ideas at WPR.org or give us a call, 800-642-1234. More coming up, including news from NPR. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network.